started recording. So we got Martha Rice on the phone, and we got another phone number that's on the, who it is, and I want to ask, if I hear you better than me.
What's the last four digits?
9821.
If you have a telephone number, 9821, would you identify yourself for the record, please?
Yes, it's Ed Schreiber, City of Brookings.
All right, thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
Okay, my solid gold retirement watch tells me it's 6 o'clock on the dot, so we'll call the meeting to order. Start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ready to roll call, please?
Joseph Pierce?
Here.
Ken Range?
Here.
Sharon Hartung?
Here.
Larry Jonas?
Here.
Richard Heath?
Here. Are there any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda?
No.
No.
Okay. Anyone need to declare a sense of conflict of interest?
No.
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 All right. Can entertain a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the agenda. Gary?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Move to item number three, the approval of the meeting minutes.
I make a motion to approve the workshop commission meeting Thursday, July 15th, 2021. And the minutes for regular commissioner meeting Tuesday, July 20th, 2021, as written.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion and a second to approve the meeting minutes and items A and B. Any further discussion?
No.
Hearing none. Gary?
Sharon?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Public comments. I have none in front of me. Do you have any on the computer, Gary?
I did not receive any.
Okay. That moves us to the management report, beginning with the financial report.
Okay, the end of the month, unrestricted cash equivalent. $602,396. Restricted cash and equivalents total $947,415. With total assets, cash at $1,538,564. The July profit and loss, total revenues from all funds were $364,301. Total expenses were $286,705. The net income for July was $77,596. The general fund program revenues were $283,886. And the expenses were $261,783. The unusual revenues this month, in July, we did sell the vessel sweep firm for $10,100. The unusual expenses during July was we paid the quarterly Curry County lodging taxes at $14,448. We bought $5,072 for traffic safety supply for new metal tubing signposts. Those are enough signposts to put all the new signposts throughout the entire port, including our boat launch ramp, which are any signs they go in. Tank testers, we spent $2,759 switching out the gasoline to diesel tank capacity to build off. And we spent $1,462 to John Portable Welding, building new piling hoops from Doc, and also Doc did repair. $59,712 transferred out of general fund to our debt, capital projects, and reserve funds. That's a monthly transfer out of the general fund. On our profit and loss versus budget performance, we're on track with our budget so far. It's only been 1 month. Any comments? Questions?
Okay. Hearing none, let's move to the Harbor Master report.
Okay, the beachfront RV park hit 85% for the month. It's right on target for what we had in 2020 for the month of July. And the marina, the staff demoed two boats in the boatyard that the port had in the boatyard for almost 5 years. Those were all disposed of, and the staff also purchased the steel for 7 new piling hoops, which will finish off the remainder of the fuel dock and replace.
Excuse me, can you talk into the mic, please? Thank you.
And replace 3 new piling hoops on the public fishing dock on the jetty. Staff also responded to a sinking vessel in Basin 2. The boat was not completely submerged. Gary and I discussed it, and the port staff decided to lift the vessel. There was no discharge of pollutants, and the conditions were right for the port to use their equipment to do it. Those charges were invoiced to the boat owner. Launches, there was 269 less launches than 2020. We still had 826 launches for 2021. Travel lift, we did 7 haulouts, and the maintenance crew completed 85 work orders throughout the port. Is there any questions?
Well, I'm attributing the lack of boat launches to the wind, probably. Be my guess. Port manager monthly report, Gary.
Okay, on the safety and security topics that Travis mentioned, we had a boat sinking. Staff did a tremendous job recovering that boat. At the RV park, we had several incidents there. Got a guest breaking a cable box, supposed it was rotten. Another guest hit an electrical pedestal that needed to be replaced. Somebody fell on a laundry mat. We did mention that in the last meeting. Laundry mat, old laundry mat, building slab. We had someone vandalize a new restroom. We damaged the sink faucet. All of it kind of ripped it apart. Our staff fixed it. Some other guests were interfering with new arrivals and disrupting other guests. And we had one guest did a sewage spill. And then we had a car that wanted, I guess, to go through the block that we put in the guy camping for some reason. They pushed them part of ways and didn't get a report for damaged vehicle or anything, but the blocks were all, well, 2 or 3 blocks removed. So we just put it back in place. We had an incident with the demolition of the abandoned boat, or cleaning up the boats in the boatyard. We had some hydraulic fluid go on the ground, which is cleaned up. 2 medical emergencies were at the port last month. One was someone hurt themselves on the ocean. The response team came to the transient dock, and they did medical assistance to them. I'm not sure if they took away the ambulance or not. The other incident, a mortgage holder was on a boat, and their daughter called the emergency response team, and they moved him to the hospital. He hasn't returned yet either, so their vehicles still parked in the parking lot. So, don't know what's going on with them. And then we have a car catch fire at the Pacific Seafoods parking lot. That's it on the incidents reports. The security reports, we had 159 security issues. 115 overnight parking tickets were written. 27 vehicles missing or unable to read the full tickets. 12 parking violations for vehicles parked in the Beaumont parking lot. Trailer falls. 200 trailers were ticketed. One person was trying to camp. And we had written a little parking violation at the RV park. I think if someone was parked in a boat trailer in a area that shouldn't have been. And Oracow reported the fire department responded to a fire on a beach apparently, but I didn't see any further details on that. Court office stuff, the permits are all turned in for the RV park project. Just waiting on approvals from the planning department, building and safety. And for some reason, the state, the county doesn't do the electrical inspections or electrical permits. It goes to the state. The state's not responding to my emails, so I keep on bugging them. Hiring process, we tried to hire a couple maintenance level two employees. We didn't have any luck hiring anybody, but we did take a part-time position, make a full-time position, and get more hours to help our staff that's here. So we've done that, and then we also hired an accounting assistant to help out the county office. Let's see. Any questions, comments?
I have one question. On the one where the guests are causing problems and interfering with new arrivals, how's that get handled?
They are noted in our files not to serve again.
But if it's if it goes to another level, do we have an employee that goes over there? Do you just call the sheriff's department? How do you handle it?
No, we have an employee go over there.
Okay.
Yeah, our office manager did go talk to them and ask them to not disrupt other employees or other guests, and also ask them to leave, but they refused to leave. I think it's several hours they finally leave them. So, yeah, they continue to disrupt our other guests. They will be asked to not return.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? I will comment that I was present when you guys rescued that boat, and I was very impressed. Did a good job.
Thanks.
Very professional, very quick. Looks like you've done it before. Okay, that brings us to action item A, the Rotary Beach Bingo Cleanup. Here.
Can I make a motion?
Oh, I'm sorry. Get going here. Motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the financial reports of July 2021, Harbor Master Report, July 2021, Port Manager Report, July 21, as discussed.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve the management report. Sure.
Sharon?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Bridget?
Yes. Okay, now that brings us to the Rotary Beach Bingo Cleanup.
My name is Janice Payne, and I am on the board of the Rotary Club. I have some information I would like to share with y'all.
Be careful with the cables.
Okay. We are planning a beach bingo, beach park. Bingo. You can remember to clean up the park. You got one already?
They're all in the meeting packet as well.
Oh, okay, well. We gave you some, a couple of these are updated. Oh, you got most of them?
Yep.
You did not, this is, was not in the meeting packet. This is just, it's a paper on, the Rotary Club and what we do in Hudson Harbor. We do a lot for the kids to raise money. But right now, we're doing this Beach Bingo, and this is the bingo card. It will, be printed on a light cardstock. And, we're hoping, one of the things we're asking the board to approve is that we can put these cards at the beachfront RV park so that they could pass them out to the people who are checking in and collect them. You know, if they come back in, we'll provide a box for them to go in so that we can go and pick them up once a month. We're gonna have a drawing once a month, and we are getting donations from around the community. All the prizes are going to be, gift cards from our local businesses. So, and, we are looking for, the second thing we are asking is to, for the Port of Brookings Harbor to be a sponsor for defraying the cost of putting the program on. The sponsorship, it just tells you what, you know, the benefits are of being a sponsor, that, you know, you go on our website and our Facebook page, and, there's a letter, sponsor letter of agreement in there. If you do decide to do that, then, you know, fill it out. We are hoping to have a kickoff party with this starting between the middle of September and the middle of October. And it's kind of a printing and getting the sponsors on board so that we have to have that before we can go to printers. So we're respectfully ask for the Port of Brookings Harbor to become a sponsor for this. Their choice
and
is to,
where is the trash going?
The trash is getting picked up in bags. And
but I mean, who's disposing of it?
Well, it says on the back, it takes the bag on the back of the bingo card, take the bag. Where is it? Down the bottom. Got the boxes.
Dispose of your trash responsibly.
Yeah, dispose of your trash responsibly.
So the people that collect it are expected to dispose of it?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to collect trash, you know you're going to dispose of it properly, right?
No.
No?
I hope so, but.
Trust me. Trust me, you try to go down to the beachfront down there. If they don't, if they throw it on the ground, if they can't get it in the can, and they don't. And they leave it on the beach. That's why you're having a beach cleanup. I was just down there, and there's all kinds of bottles and everything else on the beach.
Right, which is why we're having the beach cleanup.
Yeah.
And we're going to do this. Your sponsorship will last for a year, and we will do it on a monthly basis. We'll have monthly drawings for one blackout bingo. And we haven't exactly decided on how many, but we're thinking four regular bingos. The blackout bingo will receive a $40 gift card to a local business. The regular bingos will receive a $20 gift card to local business. So it's all local. I mean, we're hoping to get a lot of tourists. And if the tourists win, then, you know, I'm hoping they can pass the gift card on or
Come back.
Have you reached out to the parks, Harris Beach Parks Department?
I have.
Your parks.
And the local office can't do anything. I have put an email into the head of the parks, the Oregon Parks Department, Caleb. I haven't heard that.
Am I wrong, though, from the sidewalk down to the water, that's actually
yeah.
Park?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
clarifying.
Okay. Here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Does anybody have any questions?
No.
So this is ongoing year after year?
Well, we're
that's your
doing
hope?
A year, and I we're hoping it's going to be as successful enough to keep it going year after year. So the sponsorship is for 1 year at a time. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For listening to us.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's go.
Ready for a motion?
Sure.
I'd like to make a motion to approve Rotary Beach Bingo cleanup pamphlet to be included in the RV park guest packets, and a second part of the motion for the Port of Brookings Harbor to be a silver sponsor.
Which is what one?
Over $250.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Who's going to be responsible for any injuries or difficulties down there? Did you hear me, John?
What kind of injuries? From what?
People getting cut by glass and stuff like that.
It would fall under any other insurance that we still have, the port still has.
The port is going to cover that.
Well, I mean, it all depends on. Did they do it on the beach, or did they do it on port property?
Okay.
The port has insurance to cover things that, in the event that something like that happens, we are covered.
Good.
And our staff at the RV park is going to be passing these out.
It's going to go inside. I'm thinking if they're going to have probably a stack of them there, if there's people that want them, and then put them inside the RV park.
Okay, so we have a motion on the table to approve handling the pamphlets and also to be a $250 silver sponsor.
$250, you said?
$250.
We're looking for a second.
I second it.
You want to modify the motion to allow the port manager to sign the sponsorship?
Sure.
Modify the to include the port manager's ability to sign the documents.
Okay, so the full motion then is that is to approve the Rotary Beach Bingo cleanup pamphlet to be included in the RV park guest packet, to become a silver sponsor for $250, and to have the port manager sign any documents necessary to implement that.
Correct.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
This is just for 1 year.
Right.
Correct.
All right, hearing none, Gary.
Larry.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Dan.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes. Okay. I would applaud you. I think this is a pretty clever idea. I've never heard of anything like this, but I think it's a pretty neat idea.
We actually got the idea, I will let you know, from the Lincoln City Rotary Club. They're doing it up there. And it's been a great success. So we thought, Lincoln City, Brookings has got it, so we can do this.
Okay, great. Well, there you go, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, action item B, resolution 2021-08, adopting the best management practices.
Yeah, this is just a memorialized approval from the last month.
Okay. All right, any discussions, comments, or motions?
Motion to approve draft number 2021-08, adopting best practice, management practices.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Gary?
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Action item C, Founders Fresh Craft lease renewal.
He missed a 90-day renewal option, but he requested to extend his lease for another 3 years. So this amendment will waive that 90-day notice and give him a 3-year continuation.
Okay. Any questions? Discussion? This is a long-standing business that's been here, so it's been around for a long time. Yes.
Yeah, it's been a long time. You guys seen the condition of this grass place? It looks like half is finished in the water. Is there any commitment on Bill's behalf to submitting some due cooperation on it?
I'm pretty sure that you talked to him about that, I think.
We've contacted everybody.
Have you talked about doing anything about it?
He's made corrections that we've asked him to do. I mean, are we saying that it's sinking and we need him to tell him to put floats on it? I don't think it's at that point. He has a lot of weight on that dock, which causes it to sit low in the water. But structurally and where it sits right now, I don't see any reason to knock down his door to tell him he has to do something.
Okay.
Travis is correct, Richard. Yeah, he's got a lot of weight on that dock, a lot of weight.
Because of the tank.
Wasn't there discussion before about him and you wanting him to move that somewhere else and change it in some way at one of our previous meetings?
Not recently, no.
3-year contract, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Last another 3 years.
Well, it will be up to him to make sure that his area will be up to him to make sure that the repairs are made. And if there becomes any structural issues that the corridor management sees that need to be addressed, we'll make sure we let him know.
Yeah.
Does this renew every year for 3 years? Or it's a straight 3 year?
It doesn't go for 3 years.
Okay. Any other comments?
No.
Questions?
I make a motion to approve Founders Press Craft Draft Commercial Lease Agreement Amendment Number 1.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none. Gary?
Bill?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Action item B, the Pissitude lease renewal.
They have asked for a 1-year lease renewal. They asked before the 90-day notice, so there's no waiver involved in this one.
Questions, comments?
No questions.
Motion?
I make a motion to approve Pissitude Draft Commercial Lease Agreement Amendment Number 1.
Second.
Okay, Gary?
Sharon?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Action item E, above ground fuel tank pollution insurance renewal.
Right, this is an annual renewal for insurance for above ground fuel tanks. It's done every year. Our notice came in a little late. I talked to Richard about it. Instead of having a lapse on our renewal, Richard and I figured out to sign it and then get the board approval after the fact.
Is there any reason on these annual renewal things that you have to come to us for this? Can we just give you the authority to sign those things and you just tell us about it later? I mean, if you got to get a lot of these kind of things that have to be renewed and signed every year. We're probably very unlikely to never be in a position to not want to do that unless you tell us we shouldn't. So it seems to me we ought to just give you the authority to say, yeah, I'll sign all of those, and then you can just report back to us in your management report. Does that make sense?
It would make things easier in the office, yes. Once it's okay with the board. And I know other agencies, Martha did tell me that other agencies do that. This is my routine thing that they do. Non-controversial. Yeah, non-controversial.
Martha? Is Martha on the phone?
She's on the line.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so as part of the motion for dealing with this, can we add a provision to allow Gary to sign any further insurance renewals or renewals like this without coming to the board first? Or do we have to notice that and then take that action?
I think it's fine. Sometimes some of the language, I don't know if maybe you want to bring something to a future meeting that says, you know, the port manager is authorized to sign, you know, certain documents, including policy renewals for insurance. But some of the language in some of these documents does, you know, bind the port, and the board is the legal, you know, representative of the port. And if there isn't any other authority for the port manager to sign on behalf of the board, then it needs to go to the board, but you can delegate that authority. But I think we should probably just notice that and take some sort of official action so that it's clear going forward.
Okay.
When you're not on the board, you know, if somebody else is.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
I got one question. Could that be done in my contract? The contract gives me quite a few things I'm allowed to do, with hiring employees or that type of thing. Would it be either in a contract and the board approves the contract?
Or the procurement resolutions, maybe. And that might be here.
Why don't we do this rather than trying to handle it with this one? Why don't you bring it back at the next meeting with specific language, and we'll just take care of it then. And that way it'll be clear and it will be properly noticed. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Any further discussion on this one? Straightforward.
I make a motion to approve the insurance renewal for the above ground fuel tanks.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Joe and a second by Larry to approve the renewal. Gary?
Jim?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, air storage and boat storage relocation.
All right, with the new wastewater treatment plant that is being funded by the federal government, I think it's probably a good idea to start moving, clearing out the area before the time starts going. Once we get funding for this, the way I understand it, we have 1 year to put the wastewater treatment plant in. So it's probably a good idea to start moving things and get prepared. From our hearing is we're gonna get the money, it's a matter of when. And so the idea is to move the boats that do a lot of work for Pacific Seafood. They have that. We have a big chunk of that area that we recruit them first, and then move a few other boats that have storage over there to other areas.
So would you put the Pacific Seafood boat there right behind your shop? That's where you're intending to put that stuff?
Yes.
And then it would eliminate one of our three boat storages that we have,
right,
and it would turn it into gear storage. It'll probably fill up all the rest of our boat storages with what we have, but we'll have two boat storages there.
Okay. From the perspective of the port, the net revenue probably would increase if we put gear in there as opposed to boats, right? Or it would be the same.
Just due to the square footage.
It's square footage thing. It could equal out, or it could have finished the numbers, but I don't think we're losing anything.
I don't think we're losing.
Okay. All right. Okay. Discussion. Joe, what do you think about this?
Oh, it's fine. The only one with crab pots is Travis.
When?
Yeah.
I think that we'll be fine to get them in the water, I think. for the upcoming crab season. I think we'll be able to probably get them in the water. And then as you guys start bringing them back, we'll have a new location. It really depends on when the budget gets approved through everything, but we've heard October-ish, November maybe even, before it gets approved. So even 2 months into the project, I think we'll still have enough time to get you guys in the water and then be able to put you guys in an alternate location when you come out.
One other question. Why didn't we decide to put that wastewater treatment plant behind the ice house or freezers? Just the heck of it, I was just wondering.
Where, on the other side of the barge basin? Is that what you're talking about? Like on the ice house side?
Straight in front of
It's because that part, that area is what we're still reshaping for our FEMA project. So our FEMA project is going to get that cleared out, paved, storm drains in it, and be more of a parking lot to create staging for crab pots, which will help us with our 1,200-D permit.
Okay, so just a question.
There's more space available where we're going at now. Mm-hmm. Where you're thinking the other side would have, it'd be limited. It would be a smaller space. So if we ever have room for expansion for other plants to be online or anything else, you got room to expand. That's the idea.
Well, I also think it's important for us to articulate that as we're moving forward here with some of these projects, we're going to reduce storage space that's available here. And that's a loss to some of the fishing community. Offsetting that, however, is the ability to have the fish plant here and treat the waste appropriately. So I don't think it's a huge loss for anybody. I think it's actually a net gain for the port and, so I think we're going in the right direction here by developing this. Okay. Any further discussion? Mm-hmm. Entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve relocating the boat trailer storage behind the port shop into the port storage locations to make room for relocating gear storage and wastewater treatment plant proposed site.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Gary?
Jeremy?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Pardon me if I laugh a little bit about this one, but Gary, would you like to? You don't even have to explain why we have to have a heat illness prevention plan, but. Here it is.
Yeah, with the latest heat wave that was inland, not so much here at the coast, the state mandated they have a heat illness plan in place. So this is basically a plan that's followed by the state's Oregon OSHA. And we've already trained our employees. We've already did their mandated training. Follow up and get the board's approval to have this part of the plan going forward.
Okay.
Good. We do get some hot days when we get the COVID effect down, but not many, and now we're going to be in compliance.
I just laughed because I used to think this was what was called common sense, but apparently we now have a plan to dictate common sense. So
maybe.
Right. Anyone want to make a motion?
Motion to approve the draft heat illness prevention plan.
Okay, motion and second. Gary?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, Congressman DeFazio visits the port on the 25th of August.
Yeah, so far, this is still tentative. We did give you a 3 o'clock time frame on the 25th, but it could change. It might depend on what's happening in D.C., but right now, that's the plan. They haven't done anything at this point, but that's kind of the schedule.
Okay. So we're looking for two commissioners to go visit with Congressman DeFazio.
I would like to attend.
Okay.
I can't.
All right. Mind if I go?
I don't. I don't say if no one else wants to, I would, but.
Well, since I met with him before, I'd like
rather have you there.
I'll go.
Okay.
So.
So it sounds like Ken and I will go.
You too?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So somebody make a motion to that effect.
Motion to approve Commissioner Rich Heap and Ken Raines to attend Congress for on August 25th.
Okay. Second?
I second it.
Okay, Gary?
Gary? Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Regular meetings of the commission change. So we have discussed moving the meeting time to the afternoon and changing the date so that Martha will be available, and also moving it to 2 o'clock so that we can give our staff some relief from having to go to evening meetings. Anybody have any comments or questions about that? Okay. Entertain a motion?
I make a motion to change the regular commission meeting to be held monthly on the third Wednesday of each month at 2 p.m. First meeting of the new schedule will begin Wednesday, October 20th, 2021 at 2 p.m.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion in a second, Gary.
Joe? Joe? Yes, I'm sorry, guys. I was getting something.
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Operational items, starting with Coos Curry Service electrical service repairs. Looks like we have a pretty extensive list.
And these seem to be going to all of our service areas, but we're knocking them out. We did fix three sites already. The fourth site is being planned. The settlement and Coos Curry Electric. Have you heard any update on
labor? No, parts have been ordered. Parts have been ordered, and I'll be talking with Paul to let him know that he got a contractor in place already, which then he should be able to extend our deadline for it.
Okay. Anything else on that?
Okay. Do you have any questions?
Yes. The units you've done, they look good.
Yeah, they look good. It's paint, it's treated rust. The thing we have to remember is that eventually those things are on their last legs. They're going to have to be replaced, and it's going to be something that we're going to have to sit down and probably make a budget item out of, budget it into what we're going to be doing.
Okay.
That box alone, I think, is in the neighborhood of $50,000.
Oh, my.
So, they're not cheap at all. So, we're going to have to look at pricing and see how much they're going to cost to do it, I think, real quick.
Okay.
After this,
obviously, we'll make them last as long as we can.
Any idea how long that is after they've been refurbished, how long they might last?
I'm hoping we get 3 to 5 years left out of them. But at the end of the 5 years, I think we're going to have to probably have a plan in place of what we're going to have.
Good idea.
I think we got time. It's just it's something that's creeping up. They're outdoor boxes that unfortunately just don't last a long time down here.
Would we do them all at once, or can you see a sequencing like one?
We'll definitely pick them out and break them up. The total cost of all of this would probably be well over $100,000. So we're going to have to take them down, figure out which ones are the worst and take care of the worst ones and incrementally power them.
Okay. See. Another meeting, an and we're going to talk about lower parking. Looks like this time we have an array of options to choose from. So Gary, do you want to start us off with anything?
Well, I think we all know what the issue is. It's a matter of how one is for changing the parking confusion, congestion. I think we're just here to open discussion of which way we want to go. Do you want people to drive through there and park through there? If we do, then we definitely want to take a one-way route. And a way to get out. Do we want to spend a little money on kind of fixing our island, the big island, and create a little more space, maybe some more parking, maybe easier way to get out? There's quite a few options. It's a matter of how much money we want to spend and which way we want to go.
Well, having spent 2 days down there, Friday and Saturday, during what I would consider the absolute perfect storm of the whole summer, where we have the Pirate Festival, within a few miles, the last weekend of the salmon season, and the best ocean we've had all summer. I'm pretty convinced I don't want anybody even driving in over on that side.
I agree.
Because on Saturday, I'm telling you, it was an absolute, it looked like a roundabout in there. There were so many cars pulling in to go to Zola's, and once they get in, they don't know what to do. And, you know, when you're back in a boat trailer trying to back down to retrieve your boat, I'm looking in my mirrors, but I can't see these people that are coming. I looked up twice, and there's people driving behind me that's not paying the least bit of attention. So I was pretty persuaded when I looked at option number 6, which was boardwalk foot traffic and deliveries only in there, and have that whole thing blocked off between the two buildings, and just get them completely out of the boat parking area. We're still going to have traffic into the seafood market, but it's not near the volume that's coming through there otherwise.
How are you going to stop them from going into the boat?
I don't know that you can do that.
I think eventually they're going to learn that there's going to be no parking over there, then they'll just park on this side. It's what I'm thinking.
Hopefully once it gets deterred as a... even at entrance, that people will just migrate down to the next parking lot. I think we're going to have to, if this is the route, then I think we should look at signs, you know, right before you turn into that, maybe, Zola's parking, with an arrow kind of pointing them down, and maybe another arrow, you know, showing public parking, maybe not Zola's in particular, but maybe public parking, and something to head down there. I think it can be helpful to increase the signage, you know, to help direct them where to go to park. With this, I would definitely, you can see kind of we've moved some curbs, and we should look at some of how the entrance to the side where we share the private land with, that entrance, it's extremely tight to make that turn in there. If you have a trailer, you have anything, you're gonna run it up on the curb. So we might look at shortening that curb, taking it up closer to the road, which align more up with our roadway, which hopefully in turn will make it more of a friendlier entrance for people to come to. That's as close as the road as possible. Mm-hmm.
I like number 7, because this way they could either leave or they could go into the other public parking.
Which page number?
110.
107?
110.
Well, and you said people will eventually learn. I think, like on the Pirate Festival that weekend, what do you think? Half the people are from out of town. So how are they going to learn?
Well, we have to remember when we have festivals, when you have that perfect storm, the entire port collapses. It's not designed for that. I mean, there's people parked in the gravel farm. I mean, they park absolutely everywhere. So I try to encourage you that when we're thinking about parking, we think about our daily traffic, maybe a heavy fishing day. Our festival days are ports not designed to handle festivals with boating. It's it's too much for us to handle. But me personally, I would like it to go to foot traffic as well. Even if we have to relook at it at a different time, we can see how the impacts work, see how people move, and it's really at no cost to us to do. It's a couple of yellow delineators that say, you know, no parking, and improve signage by our other parking lot to get them down there. It's extremely tight through there. The problem will never stop with as far as public traffic driving down there and trying to navigate this boat parking lot and seeing that as a parking spot for souls. I don't know how much you're going to stop that, but by inviting them down this road, it's drawing more attention to it is what I feel. So where if it's not even an option, we just put up these signs, strategically place them to where hopefully people will see them. That is a paid boat launch. I don't know if you guys have seen the signs over up, but there's 3x3 signs, and the bottom of the signs is 7 feet off the ground. You can see them; they're well marked. So to me, the better situation is to move them out into the public parking we have. With the design of what we have, I know in some of these you see cars parked all the way up there, but when we re-put out parking stalls out there, when we're going to have to put out stalls out there and put new parking stalls out there, the most parking stalls that I can see with the trash cans that are there and, you know, to be able to still have maneuverability for trucks, it's 7 parking spots, maybe, and all that's going to be left there by the time when we finish doing the parking area there, that's all that's going to be there.
And that will give them also their handicap in the front by the restaurant.
No.
Right?
No.
You're not going to have anything.
I'm not going to have anything.
What one are you looking at?
I'm sorry. I'm looking at number 6. I went back to number 6. I'm sorry. On yours, on number 7, there would be one handicap parking spot, one accessible parking spot, and 6, maybe 7 other spots that are along that. So this is obviously a major issue. If we close it down, we can maybe in the future look about moving that curb over and creating turn-in parking spots that kind of go along the side of the new building all the way up to our property line, which will get them closer to the building and give kind of back those parking spots that are being taken from right in front. But that's my 2 cents on it. After we readjust this, there's going to be a lot of parking spots there. So if we want to go through the trouble of keeping that with all the impacts that it has, I just want the 7 parking spots.
You have a comment, Mike?
Yeah, can I add another number to the list you have? When you pull in the zone and the boat ramp was 2 lanes, you had the first walk or crosswalk here across those 2 roads. In many ports, this is where they have a toll bar that they either going to insert their yearly pass, and the bars can open up in there. If you put a toll bar right there, the people who don't understand just have one way to go, which is left out of there towards. So you kind of understand what I'm saying here?
I do.
You can go as far as moving the $5 path just where the bars are, where the bars will go up and down. That's going to keep out all the people who don't, you know.
The
only complication I see with that is we've got the seafood market there that people have to be able to access to. If we had no retail over there at all, we'd be golden. We could do a lot of things differently, but we're kind of stuck with what has been previously developed here at the port, and that seafood market's got to have extra access. So,
Richard, can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
We have 7 options. Let's take them option 1, 2, 3, 4 and talk about them and get it down to. Throw it down, whittle it down to if there's any option other than Sharon's.
Okay, so the first one we have on page 102 is basically the Marine Board suggestion, which is just to make a cul-de-sac so you can't even go down there.
Right.
Right, you have to, if you start down that road, you have to turn around and go back out.
There's not enough room to make a cul-de-sac.
Okay. I don't think that's even a feasible idea.
So we eliminate option one.
No, okay. No, that's before option one. No.
Page 102.
Yep.
That's Oregon State Marine Board's suggestion. That's the one that will not work. We don't have enough room to do a cul-de-sac, yeah. So we're just going to turn the page on that one.
Okay.
So option one, which is
104.
Page 104. Has the entrance coming in as it currently does, it eliminates some parking spots up against the other building, the Rigetti building, or whatever we're going to call that building, and some there where the recreational guys park also. And then that would be a sharp left turn, and everything else would stay the same as what we have in there right now, correct? All the meetings and everything?
Correct.
In my opinion, it doesn't work because the two-way lane, after the one-way, you make the left turn to go back to Lower Harbor Road, that two-way on the between our big berm and the private property simply doesn't work because they still have parking that they can use, and there's just not enough room for traffic flow through there. So this one does not work just for that reason.
Any love for option one?
We would have to reduce the rock area.
Or remove it. Just option one, I don't think is.
Okay, so this brings us to option two, which is to route them down along the building as they're coming in now, remove any parking up against Rigetti's, remove some parking where the boats are, remove those three existing yellow barriers and move them farther down.
Mm-hmm.
So then you could continue straight ahead and then access the public parking right there on that corner. So we would lose two parking spots maybe, or three. That's the one you and I went down and looked at and talked
right.
about. Okay.
That would be okay. Because they still can't turn where the ice cream place is, so they won't run over people.
They never get that far.
They don't get that far.
Right.
Have you guys talked to the owners, new owners of Rigetti's? Are they, do they want a two-way, do they care?
He has not expressed any interest in moving those at all.
I'm sorry?
He has not expressed any interest in moving those at all. He likes the area that's blocked off right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he did make a comment that he didn't want any parking behind a building. On that one side. So.
Right. So we need to eliminate our traffic going back to Lower Harbor Road on the north side of the barrier. You're showing two-way traffic.
It's two-way traffic as you come into it, and then it turns to single.
Nice.
It's two-way when you're entering.
When you enter it, and then you have a bottleneck right there, those people are parked. So to me, that doesn't work. We have to eliminate our traffic. We've got to move our traffic over to the public parking area.
Well, the property line runs right down the middle of that road. So
I understand that, but...
So okay.
Well, it's going to create a bottleneck in the traffic.
But by doing that, you still haven't changed anything. It's still going to happen. You just made it easier for people coming out of Zola's to get out. But we haven't changed... You're still going to be dealt with that.
You're going to have people going both ways no matter what. We know how people drive in parking lots. They go any way they want to go.
Okay, but coming from his property, it's one way going towards the boat basin, which is blocked off. He can only go one way, a portion of that.
Mm-hmm.
If we block the road off at our end, where they have to go, they can't make that left turn, they have to go into the public parking. You've eliminated all the problem or major mass of the problem to me.
Okay. For all these reasons, that's why I ended up going with no cars coming down there at all. It seems to me that this one seems to me to be the easiest way to do this. You block it right here and you block it right there.
The only problem with that, Richard, is the fire lane.
Well,
the fire lane still exists with the traffic delineators that we've put up.
Run right over.
You can drive right over.
They're collapsible.
Okay.
And I guess as delivery trucks did too, although that might tear them up. But
you also.
That we're going to talk with, that we've already kind of talked with Ian about, that they're extremely easy to remove, but in the event that they just absolutely don't want to, they can be ran over.
That was option four you had just talked about.
No, that's, so we're
on option
we've done two and we've talked about three. Not really, we haven't talked about three. So three would be where we take out part of that rock.
Well, you would narrow that island up to allow more traffic to go like both ways, or
easier for people to get out. Like a 15-foot wide island, so we reduce it to basically a sidewalk.
Okay.
Richard, the only major objection I can see to it making that foot traffic only, you're eliminating 13 parking stalls right in front of Zola's, which I don't think those parking stalls are the big issue. It's the moving traffic that is the big issue. How to get it out of there.
I agree with you, but I just don't yet have to find a workable reason to get these people out of there that makes sense. I mean, I agree with you. If I could keep these spots here, I would. But it's just when you turn the corner with the private and the island, and remember the island got put in because of our
stormwater
that comes
right
off. So it is a necessary evil to have it there.
It does not have to be.
I mean, that's why we're talking about it. It's just, you know, by eliminating it altogether, you just don't have traffic.
But for your stormwater, it doesn't necessarily have to be that wide for it to still do the job, right?
Without major, raising the road, changing it to where our water will stay on our property, which will create a retaining wall against our neighbor, which would drive it up, you know, maybe a 2-foot retaining wall. That it's a different avenue.
So option three is just making that island smaller for easier traffic to get out of there, make it one way. That's option three.
Okay.
So option four is making foot traffic, but also making it, leaving everything else the same except for creating a wider driveway entrance in the public parking area. For easier access, which is pretty similar to option six. Option six, we're just removing more island and creating a bigger parking area than option six. So option four is less island work, less objective.
Okay. I have two things. One is without any cost, basically, we move those three cones over and we block off where they can make a left turn to go down adjacent to Rigetti's property. There's no money invested in that. Leave the island exactly the way it is for right now. Run a test, see what happens. Put your signage up. If it's working, great. If it's not working, we come back and do option, eliminate the parking and any vehicles going through there. The first option is cost, minimal cost, virtually no cost. It gives you an opportunity to evaluate what this traffic's doing without doing any major repairs or structural.
You're talking option two.
Basically option two.
Yeah.
Basically it's, well.
It's option two. That's what option two does, but
right. Okay. But you're going to block off that left turn that goes adjacent to Rigetti's between our island and Rigetti's property.
So we would move the three
cones
and then add three more. sounds like to me.
Yeah, or whatever it takes to block it off.
Yeah.
Could add a concrete barrier.
There's a barrier in there, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got barriers there.
I hear you.
Well, I agree. I like the option of stopping people from coming in and then turning left into Zola's. You know, I don't want, they all have boats. I don't want anything that it's not supposed to be there. It's a pain in the butt. I don't know if you guys own boats, but even on a not really busy day, say, Richard, say you're watching maybe this side in the dock and you turn around and there's some guy trying to sneak around behind you. There's a guy trying to sneak around in front and they're just going to get fish, but that's a problem. Well, I say block. Yeah, I'd like to see as least amount of traffic in there as possible. It's not boating.
But is that fair to the restaurant owner?
They can come in here and loop around, or if they do two-way, they can go that way.
So what do you want to do further up on the other property? This car's going to come down and just get stuck, then they're going to back out. So you want to block off our port property all the way around between the port to the other private property? Because there's going to be like a dead end one in there. The other property owner has parking stalls, like a one-way parking stall.
It's our property. We can block it off.
Well, no, I'm just asking what you guys want to do. You want to block off that entire stretch from all the way
up? Well, if you want to use an escalating process, Ken's suggestion is maybe we just start with the three. Just move those three. Eliminate those things, and let's see how that works. If we're still having problems with cars going the wrong way on that one way, then we would have to do something else about it. But that would be just the progressive matter of adding three more of those yellow posts.
No, you're still creating a dead end.
We're creating a dead end, and we're also not solving anything about traffic entering onto the launch ramp. And a matter of fact, now we have created two-way traffic going through Zola's.
No, you're not.
How would you remove two parking spots enough for them to go out there and assume that people aren't going to drive that way?
You mean come this way?
Well, yeah, they're going to come.
I know that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to, instead of using the one-way road that comes down that we're using as an exit, now they're going to use it as a two-way road to go out. I mean,
entire puncture strips. They're in all parking lots.
That's your fault.
Well, here's
certainly an option.
We're worrying about parking on the private property, right? No.
No, we're talking about just people driving any which way they want to go. They're going to drive.
As soon as they start driving down that way, they have enough width to drive.
They're going to
drive right through it.
They're going to drive by slugging stones and see a way open. They're going to drive the wrong way and go the other way no matter what. And no matter what we do, people drive.
It the signs, the one-way signs, the do not enter signs, arrows on the road are all an aid, I guess, that drivers choose not to use.
Right. We watched cars, 10 cars in like 2 minutes go the wrong way on the
boat. On our camera, we sit there and we poke it right at it. And we watch, they come down.
Right,
it's a horrible area. I mean, it is a really, really, really bad area that we can try anything. We can try. I don't want to own this at all. That's why we're all here discussing this. But the situation that always comes up is that the drivers don't care.
Yep.
Sure. That's all I have to say.
So let's make up their minds for them.
Well, unfortunately, you know, by just shutting it down to foot traffic only, it's not unheard of. You go to a lot of different places to get to restaurants. You have to walk. You know, it's not that far of a walk to get from public parking to Zola's. It's not uncommon for boardwalk areas for that just to be foot traffic only. It's not uncommon in any place you go to, especially in ports where parking limited anyway, and there's a lot of restaurants you almost all the time have to walk.
Well, I would personally, I would view that as a benefit to Zola to have that foot traffic only. They could even come to us and say, would you mind if we put a couple of picnic tables out there? I'm surprised Zola's doesn't have a will call window there for picking pizza up like we talked about the other day.
He discussed wanting to do off that site some sort of a drive through walk up, pick up window to help. Because everybody that orders out right now have to walk in the store through it
to the back
to get it. So I think he's trying to minimize that traffic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it'll allow for more vendor type opportunities for tables, and the future expansion of our boardwalk if and when that happens.
Just on the weekends, there's not that much parking right in here because their property's all blocked off and everybody, their vendors and everybody else is taking up most of the lot.
That happens too.
Well, here we are. What are we going to do? Let's pick it up.
Well, I want to go through the rest of the options. I mean, we started and we kind of stopped, so.
Okay. Well, we got the six. What's seven look like?
We didn't like it.
If you guys said it, I missed it, but what's the legalities of handicap parking? What's the distance?
You have to have them for parking stalls that you have, and there's no distance attached.
No distance attached to it.
So seven is the same as.
Same as two, but there's more island work and trying to create more parking lots. It's basically reducing that one side of the island and trying to make some parking extra parking space.
Have you thought about re-striping it? So cars can go in one way or on the angle.
One thing that I found when you start driving things into one way with the possibility of two way is that you create major traffic problems. So unless the one way is developed into just a one way without the ability to drive two ways, I would strongly discourage it.
Just to try to squeeze in a few more public parking spots.
You know, we're talking a lot of work to then turn around and gain two parking spots. Or even relatively five. Our parking lot that we have right now, I don't know if everybody was here, but when we re-seal coated our entire parking lot, we reshaped and redid all the parking stalls. Our parking lot right now is maxed out with the most available parking spots that our parking lot can give us. It's as tight as you can possibly make it.
They're tight.
So any adjusting, I would fear that maybe we would lose parking stalls. And I'd be cautious about how much money we're spending on the game. But
there's been any discussion of having some sort of traffic engineer, which I don't think we have one because I've asked City of Brookings about some other stuff. State, county, traffic engineer to come in and do a study, and maybe they could give us a professional opinion on, you know, they've got an education and background of doing how traffic flow works and best solutions instead of, I don't know, is anybody here a professional traffic engineer?
You're right on with that.
Yeah, we're guessing, we're beating it up, we change it. I mean, we're doing the best we can, but and I don't know that they'd give us anything better than we have, but
we haven't looked into traffic engineers.
That's
kind of above what we're trying to make this. If it's a decision that we decide to go, we're gonna have to look at how much money we have set aside in engineering and. It'll be something, it's going to start costing money if we go that way.
My experience on this, the traffic engineer would take what we just did and then go back to the board and say, which way do you want to go? It's going to be the same, we're going to come back to the same scenario with these options. There's only so much you can do. You either create more space or you block it off.
Right.
So I think it's just wasting money with the engineer.
On here, this is the side of their, the other side of their building. So they could put the handicap there for people that can't walk.
There's a handicap spot there now, but
right?
he wants to use that area for benches and tables.
But that is unleased right now, and that is still something as part of our traffic control and what we want to do.
Is that our land?
Yes, that we can surely decide to make that one if that's what we decide to do, because that is our choice.
Because I could see this for, you know, people that actually could never get from the other parking lot over there, and you could still then block that and have your foot traffic.
That's
only if we could offer this.
Well, the accessible parking on the backside, which is, that's an unleased area, that's nothing that's tied to a lease, and that is something definitely we remove the red curb that's
makes
there.
Makes more sense, and then eliminate the traffic then. But, you know, that's my only concern is...
is the accessible parking.
Because we do have people in the community.
There is still one there, but it's not clearly identified. It's been lost to where it's at. So if that's a decision we decide to do, we just redefine it.
That's actually used to be a handicapped boat parking spot.
Yes, it is.
Used to, and it kind of went away when the new parking lot came up.
So it looks to me like we're down to some form of either 2 or 7 or 4.
Oh, about 6 or 7. You either eliminate it or you don't.
Well, that's what 4 is.
Where is 4?
4 is, total boat traffic, and it takes out, it enlarges the area, what do you call that? I want to call that a berm, but the thing there, the...
This is the entrance,
I mean, where all the rocks are. What do you
yeah, that island.
Island. It eliminates part of the island.
We don't... I like 6 better than 4.
And I think even if you would do a combination of 4 and 6 with that island, keep 4 the big part of the island, but then remove a lot of the upper island next to Lower Harbor Road, which would make that entrance a lot friendlier.
That'd be cool.
But I would take that island on 6, bring it all the way out to the road, eliminate that entrance and entryway.
All right, so where are we going with this?
Do you agree on that, Travis? What? Say on 6 or say 6. I see you're eliminating the road totally. You're going right to Rigetti's. I'm going to call it Rigetti's corner post, correct? With a new island?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Right here.
Right here. Under Gary's book, that's Gary's corner property right there, right?
Yeah.
Just take this all the way to the street then. And eliminate that whole entryway in and out of there.
Have entry.
But we need
it. That's kind of a pain in the butt as it is. I've gone through it several times.
It's what I'm talking about, Jerry. Let me just draw this.
I just want to use 4.
I'll start with Joe, and I'll work my way around here.
Don't trip on the floor.
So if we do decide to do that yellow part right there will get shaved off and meet this to where, and it'll be, this will stay the same, and then that curve gets shortened all the way up. So it creates a bigger, because it's what I've seen over there.
Okay.
If you get stuck over to this side with a boat trailer, or RVs pointing the wrong way, you can't make it out back onto Lower Harbor Road without driving over that island up close to Lower Harbor Road. So that, to me, there's an easy curb to put in there that'll match our existing road, which will just take you into an exit. So by keeping that and then eliminating everything all the way up to here and making that a tighter knob right there so it doesn't come down, and just having our speed bump continue up, and then that it's really hard to tell with our parallel parking spots that are here, it'll make this road be able to go down and come into it instead of having to go down and make that really hard turn back into it, which is not.
So what's that have to do with this?
It has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
Did you see what I'm talking about?
Okay. Larry.
by removing this
mm-hmm.
and taking it up tighter to Lower Harbor Road.
This we're taking on Middle Street next. That'll be easier.
Moving this knob that comes out and making it a lot smaller to where this traffic can get out.
That's what we need. We don't have a perfect storm. That's really an issue. When you've got a perfect storm involved.
Dolores is in a very busy place.
And we've been talking.
2 days, I think, of the days they're closed.
Yep.
That is the only day that wasn't actually maneuverable.
We've been talking about this for 4 months now. At every meeting.
At least.
We'll be then trying to come up with something.
Right, where are we headed here?
How about we want a taxi there, our customers?
We've got a variety of opinions here.
Well, I'll still go back. I don't care what we do, but I don't see spending the expense at this point in time of doing anything to that island except maybe what Travis wants to do there. As far as making it narrower, until we have a proven either traffic works or it doesn't work, or we have all foot traffic. One of those two.
And my concern really is, it's just me personally, is they're going to do whatever they want to do over there. Like you said, they don't look, they don't read, whatever they're going to do. My concern is state funding for our boat launch and keeping as much, I know we can't keep it all, but keep as much pedestrian traffic and non-boat ramp traffic out of this. And I think that those three cones or cement blocks there will stop that and just mark this. They're, like you said, they're going to do whatever they want to do over here, but my concern is the boat ramp area. That's me.
Well, I agree with Ken with wasting money on something you don't need to waste money on right now, even though the traffic is made. I can just see someone going, well, I don't know, but pick something. That should have been repaired before, worrying about the traffic situation. This is cheating. I don't think it's cheating.
You can block that area off and not do anything with islands.
Right.
But you have to make it.
Or you open those parking stalls up and see what happens there. It doesn't really matter to me and Travis. Whatever we do, we all should be on the same board. See what we want to do. We still open it, see what it does, and then close it afterwards, and it still continues to be an issue. So we don't have people drive.
Well, I think if we add those three posts out there, that's cheap. If you, my biggest worry is if we close this off, we're going to have people getting stuck in here like you talked about. So if we took this design, which is two, and implemented that, if they could turn left and get out of there if they came this way, right? That would take three more posts there. So we'd be putting in six posts and moving through.
You're talking about closing that off.
Well, yeah. No, no. What I'm talking about is doing this. Closing this off right here with
okay.
three posts.
Yeah.
And three posts. If they come in here, they can turn around and get back out. So look at number two. And then just add three, remove these three posts that are here right now.
They're going to be turning this way.
Sure.
And
put them this way and this way. So this is close. And if they come in this way, they're going to be able to make that left-hand turn and get back out. That'll require the purchase and installation of six posts and moving three, basically.
And where do the truck deliveries go?
Going kind of wherever they want to go. Park in the entrance lane.
They park right in the entrance lane.
So I've seen them come in this way, go this way,
okay
and then
if
back.
They're out there, then.
So far, we haven't received any complaints about delivery trucks,
okay.
So I'm not concerned about their access and their frequency.
So. They usually, when I've seen them there, they're usually there either at
10-15 minutes,
yeah.
And it's pretty early.
Yeah.
ramp right there.
So does that get us any resolution at all?
No.
I think if you were to try and, if you're worried about people coming down that road and hitting that, that you come right off our island, right out to our property line, and just stop it from going that way. If they choose to go around them and utilize their parking spots, however they want to going in there, that's their property. But if we just block it off to where people just can't go down there, you have to immediately turn in there, that is done.
Put a few spike strips out there. They'll get the idea real soon that they don't go that way.
Yeah, you find a couple cars sitting there with flat tires, they're all going to look twice, three times.
So are we agreed on allowing them to try something like that? Going to foot traffic only between the two, modifying the other areas to keep them from getting trapped in there.
With no modification to the island.
Right. Yeah, that was no problem. We have the traffic delineators.
Okay.
So motion, man.
Motion?
Just trying to do something so they can't drive down that little lane.
So this is still an informational item.
Yep.
So we don't need to vote on it. We're just kind of having a general discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move to item C, which is Pacific Seafood Housing on Port Property Request. Question? Comment?
We do have a representative from Pacific Seafood Housing. Yeah, from here. There he is. We're just, we've applied for status to be able to have HB2 visa workers. There's a lot of rules and regulations. It would be easy to have them down here instead of, you know, buy six duplexes in town. You can't just let them run around town. And like I said, there's a lot of rules and restrictions. We're just looking for options.
But you've done this in other ports. I know
right.
You do it in Hammond and different places.
Yeah,
and
we own a couple motels, a couple apartment complexes. Charleston's putting in, they're working on putting in a similar facility for there. So. We're just looking for options, trying to open some dialogue. Like I said, we've applied for the workers, the whole process. It takes a year. We should have them in place by next spring season. We're doing this, we just can't get anybody to work.
Yeah. Yeah, I just spent a week in Hammond and there's signs out all over Pacific Seafood Hiring, come see us. And,
I drive by the lane every day.
Yeah. So. Well, this, although we're not taking action on it, I certainly don't have any objections to something like this personally. I mean, we've got a pretty big stake in this community and that seafood plant, and it's imperative we get people working there. I mean, otherwise we're not going to continue to have that business. And when you look at the amount of revenue that generates for the town, that's pretty significant, so.
I also let Brett know that the property across the street is available if they want to purchase that, put their housing on that. So I don't know if that's still in the discussion with you guys. Or
no, like we're just trying to open dialogue.
Okay. Anything's possible.
Okay.
I was just myself thinking like a one-time purchase. You know, something different would be a monthly revenue for you guys.
Okay. Well, I don't think any of us have an answer for why people won't come and apply, but that's beyond our control. So, okay, any comments or questions on this?
So one area that they had designated for possible units was supposed to be, we talked about it earlier, for care storage. So
that
was
kind of strategic move, I guess, by putting their boat stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll allow them time to move their stuff. It allows us time to do what we're doing. And if and when this does come up, we can relocate their gear again somewhere closer. That move, that keeps their gear closer to what they're doing.
Okay.
It'll be their choice.
Lots of options.
There's a lot of options. It's just getting them closer to where they're working.
So Brett, are you gonna be here the rest of the meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Water.
Okay. So that brings us to the last one, which was the wastewater treatment plant funding.
Yeah, this is just, let the board know that this funding does come, which they keep on telling us it's gonna happen. We're gonna have matching, that we're gonna have to match with this project. It's $3.5 million is what we're estimating, what Jack is estimating. And, the Fazio's earmark, when I was doing paperwork, so 20% matching, but when I was doing earmarks for the other congressmen and senators, they had earmarks at 25% matching. So, be on the safe side, I just think the higher one at this point. And just trying to strategize where we're coming up with the matching dollars now, if and when the funding comes. So, my original thinking right now is using our reserve funds, which we have $300,000. County is trying to give every port the $100,000 to do what you want to do with, whatever you want to do with it. So I figured $100,000 to go to that matching. If we want to put any more money into it from our general fund, we could. I did ask the Civic Seafood if they would want to pitch in on this matching amount. I haven't got a response back yet, but we're thinking about it. Whatever difference we may have, we either go to a loan, private loan, or we use our general fund money to make up the difference. That's kind of what I'm looking at right now.
If we have general fund reserve, $100,000 from the county, would we have enough to cover $800,000 in that?
You could deplete your general fund quite a bit, which I'd be afraid of.
Right. I mean, we could do.
Yeah, it's possible. Absolutely.
So Gary, is Jack or you or whoever, are you gonna be coming and letting us know exactly what the operating cost of this is gonna be and how we're going to pay for that and what type of license that we're gonna need and so forth? I mean, you'll be getting that before.
Yeah, Jack's actually talking to a plant that's about the same size. I think somewhere in New Mexico, I believe. So he sees all that data for us. He's actually getting 12 years of operating expenses, and some of the data he's got are already pretty surprised of how inexpensive this plant, type of plant he's looking at. And the training that you need for like operator is not very hard, I guess, when he was explaining to me. It's not that complicated even. So, what I plan on doing is let Jack get all this data for us. To get some videos for this plant for us to look at, and then have a special meeting or a workshop and present all this information to everybody once you get the information.
Great.
The import of that would be when we come down to developing a fee structure for using the plant. That's when all that stuff comes into play.
Yeah.
Okay.
Question.
A quick question, Gary. These four circuits you got here, is this above ground or below ground? Are these tanks that are going to be 10, 12 feet high above ground, or are they going to be 2 feet up?
I don't have that answer yet. We'll know more when Jack gets his presentation to us. I don't have an answer for you.
All right.
Okay. Brings up the commissioner's comment.
We've been very busy down here, I'll tell you. Staff has really been working. A lot of people and, you know, a lot of activity, so we weathered it. It was good.
Nothing. Brett, I don't know how much ice you guys went through for this recreational fisherman, but you guys did an outstanding job from everything I heard, and also the quality of the ice you guys are putting out over there is just a 10.
He's got that team that pretty good. So yeah. Keep that thing real cool. Yeah, I knew it was coming. I just, you know, put a couple guys over there for a couple days and.
It was.
That was good planning.
Okay, so that brings us, I am not going to make any comments tonight, believe it or not, so. Brings us to our next regular meeting, which is Tuesday, September 21st at 6 p.m. And with that, we are adjourned.
Thank you.